Grace, mercy, and the peace of God be with you this day. Amen. Today we continue the series that we've been in during this Lenten season, Remember Who You Are. Looking at our history, looking back, remembering because our identity is tied to things of the past. Last week in our message, also rooted in Isaiah's writing and prophecy, was a hymn, a song to remember. A song to look back and remember things that God had done and how that influenced his relationship with Israel, and for us, how that influences our understanding of God and our relationship with him. So we sometimes spend time pondering the past. It's something that we do. Our minds can be occupied by things of the past, by events, by occurrences, by things that we've done and enjoyed. There's things that we treasure from our past. A number of years ago, Paula was really into scrapbooking, so we have a few scrapbooks in our house. She's really creative with it, did a great job. There's mostly it's Max when he was a kid, so the other two kids, when they discover these, are not going to be happy probably about it. But, really nice, laid out with little, decorations around and pictures and descriptions and all of that to remember some of the highlights. And then there's framed art on our walls, framed photographs that we've taken, from various trips we've been on and places we've gone, and memories that are connected with these things, valued, treasured memories of places we've gone and things that we've done and people that we know, and it's great. It's important. It's an important part of our lives to remember and to treasure these memories that we have. One of the reasons why it doesn't happen that the pictures end up in scrapbooks so much anymore is a lot of that ends up online in virtual scrapbooks, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or something else. A lot of the photographs and the highlights of our lives are captured there and then never make it back out of the digital realm into a printed, tangible thing. Whatever it is, though, we collect and clip out these articles or highlights for our lives and paste them either physically or virtually in a way that we can remember. There's that song from, probably 30 years ago, Glory Days, They'll Pass You By. But we all remember some glory days, some things that we've done, things we've accomplished, dates that we celebrate each year. Anniversaries, birthdays, the first day of something. And those are treasured memories. But there's also things that occupy us from our past that we'd probably like to change, things we regret, mistakes that we've made, hurts that we've inflicted or that we've received that are part of our past as well. Because no one's past looks only like the scrapbooks or Facebook posts that we make. There are things that we've done, painful things, wrecked relationships, words we just wanted to take back before they even reached the ears of the hearer. Failures that we've experienced, painful losses that we've suffered. Because our lives are a mix, right? A mix of the highlights, the lowlights, and then everything that exists in between. All those routine things that we can easily forget because it's kind of the same thing over and over. But the ends, the great things, the not great things, those are the things that get burned into our brains and we remember. Well, God's redeeming work is worth remembering. And we remembered last week, along with Isaiah singing this hymn of remembrance, we remembered the work of God, and here it comes to us again. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. It's the Exodus again in the face, in the front of the nation of Israel, remember, this is who God is. This is what he has done. He's the rescuer, the redeemer, the one who has saved you. Remember that? Remember that identity that you have as a child of God, as a person of Israel. God has a claim on their lives. Now understand the context. Isaiah is prophesying to a time of exile. The nation of Judah in the southern kingdom will be exiled. And so Isaiah is declaring the truth of the wrath of God exercised by Babylon, Assyria, and he's looking forward ahead to when those things take place. Remember, this is who God is, the rescuer, the redeemer. Remember, this is what God wants you to know. Remember this. Remember what he's done. Now, God commands Israel after the Exodus to remember, to celebrate, even each year to have a memorial meal to commemorate the Passover, this mighty hand and outstretched arm event of the history of this nation. And in about a week and a half, we'll remember in the context of the Passover when Jesus instituted the supper that we celebrate. Another meal of remembrance. There's a lot of looking back. There's a lot of remembering that we do, that it's commanded to do, that we do because God had rescued his people. We also need to forget the former things. And that's where he goes right away. This is the word of the Lord who did these things, who parted the waters, who redeemed and rescued you, Israel, chosen people. Remember that? Now forget that. Well, not exactly. But forget the former things. There are things we'd like to forget, but we cannot change the past. Time travel, like Back to the Future, break it into the space-time continuum and being able to go back in time and maybe change things has captivated the mind of man, well, for a long time. Maybe for all of time. Because there are things that we would love to forget, would love to change in the past. But because we cannot change, sometimes we need to forget. We need to let go. We need to press on. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes these words, "Forgetting what is behind, I press on." Forgetting what is behind. Isaiah here writes, "Remember not the former things." That's in verse 18 of chapter 43. "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Anybody watch This Is Us? Anybody watch This Is Us who hasn't seen the season finale? Okay, then I'm not going to ruin it for you. Oh, you haven't seen it? But you do watch it? You have it DVR'd? Okay, then I won't ruin it for you. Okay, got a thumbs up here. But I can tell this story-ish. So there's a couple of characters, Randall and Beth, and like all season long, there's been this cloud hanging over their relationship. And the implication is they've got some issues. They were the perfect couple for two seasons. And now in season three, now things don't look so perfect anymore. And they're kind of going different directions. Well, let's do this real quick, will you? The question going into the season finale is, are they going to resolve this, or is this going to be a train wreck that they can't get past? And it's a hanging question mark on relationships, right? Because there are things and times when we need to find a solution. We need to figure out a way, and It's necessary in our lives, in our relationships. Now, hopefully without spoiling it, I can tell you that there's a moment where they each are working on a way to make it work, a way to make a change, a way to do something different from how they've done it thus far, to do something different. And maybe it means a departure from life as they knew it. Sometimes it requires us to press on, to forget what is behind, to move forward in a new way. Because what's done is done. What's done is done. So as Isaiah writes these words, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. He's saying what's done is done. Isaiah 40, just a couple chapters ago, had said, and these words might be familiar, they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So in this season of exile, you'll be waiting for the Lord. You'll be waiting and you'll have your strength renewed, but forget the ways that God has done that before. Forget what is behind. Don't focus solely on the past and what God has done before. Because exiles might say, well, God used to do great things. We remember when God was powerful. We remember when God, for our ancestors, did these great things. And I think what Isaiah is getting at here, what God is getting at through Isaiah here, forget the former things. Don't rely on the past. Don't only look for God to show up at the sea, to part the sea because Pharaoh's army is coming. That's not your context. That's not where you are. Forget the former things. Don't only look to God to do the things he's already done. That's, I think, what it means. Not let's neglect to remember in any capacity what God has done before, because he's just reminded them of what he's done before. So forget the former things. Don't put too much stock in the past and risk not seeing that God is doing something new. See that. God is doing something new. Behold, verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? If we get too focused on the past, we'll neglect to see what God's currently up to, what he's doing, what he's doing now. In the context in which we live, God's doing something new. He makes rivers in the desert. A surprising amount of rainfall this year. Shocking, to the point that people who've been in drought are now saying, I wish it would stop raining. Have we thought it? Yeah. Wish the sun would come out. Sun's out today, so we'll wrap this up. We'll get out there. Don't worry. I think it'll still be sunny when we're done. And it's not just been here, right? Bay Area isolated. It's been all over the place. There's been a tremendous amount of rain. In February, I went to Phoenix for a ministry conference that I attended also last year. Both last year and this year, I get emails because there's Lutheran churches all over the country and people from these churches that attend this conference. And so they know if you're in February and you're in Minnesota or Wisconsin, that going to Phoenix is like, we're going to wear shorts. It's going to be warm. Can't wait. So they send emails to just remind you, by the way, the weather's going to be great. It's going to be warm. It's going to be sunny. This is Phoenix, right? Both years. Last year, it was kind of cold, and it sprinkled a little. This year, it looked like that. That is not a reservoir. That is not a pond. That is an open field in this courtyard of the church where they expected to have, and if you look real close, you can see those bright green things in the kind of in the distance in the picture. That was some kind of inflatable thing that they actually had set up the day the conference started, because we were going to, I don't know, it was like some kind of game to play for grown-ups in an inflatable, right? Kind of fun. I have video of last year I jumped off a platform into a great big inflated thing like a stuntman. I didn't jump from the high, like stuntman height, but from like 15 feet onto the big inflated. So this is the space where that stuff happens. This year it was a pond because of the rain that fell. This is surprising to have that much rain in Phoenix in February. It was rain where we were. It was snow in the mountains. More snow than they know what to do with in Arizona. Our hills are green right over here. And you've probably been noticing that they're still green. And it's April. Like by now, they're kind of lighter green, right? Moving toward that Golden Hills label that they get. The desert is blooming. In Southern California, the poppy blooms about a month ago were so unbelievable that people were coming out, and because we want to post these in our digital scrapbook opportunities that we have, the poppies were getting trampled, and so some town shut down access to where these poppy fields are. My dad's cousin's wife, who lives in Southern California, had posted some things about going hiking and how the desert is just a bloom like she's never seen. Amazing things that are happening this year. Reality is God does things we don't expect, like rivers in a desert, like poppy blooms in Southern California and green hills right here, and a lake in the courtyard of a church in Phoenix. Greg Finke, who's led us through the Dwelling 114 track, has asked us to ask one another this question. How's God messing with you? What's God doing in your life? How do you see God at work in your life? It's a way that we've been starting our staff meetings and board meetings and different things for about the last year. What's God doing? What's God up to in your life? Where do you see him at work? And I think that's what Isaiah is saying here. Pay attention to what God is doing. He's going to show up in ways that surprise, ways that might not be expected. How have you seen God at work? Because when life seems hopeless, he makes a way. For exiles in Babylon, there will be a way back. And it's not going to be through parted waters and the Exodus redone. Not exactly. God's going to do a new thing. He gives us hope. And yet at the same time, our God who does a new thing also remains consistent. God remains consistent. There's a river in the desert. Guess what? God's done that before. Water in the wilderness. Behold, Exodus 17:6 says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. The new things God does are like the old things. So a river runs through it. Through the dry and weary land, through the wilderness in which they will wander, bringing hope to the hopeless, life where there's drought, sustaining life-giving water in a dry and weary land. Exiles in the desert will be sustained by God. So be refreshed for the future. Be refreshed. The life-giving water of God is here. This is Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 20. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. What provision has God made for you? The well of salvation is for you. Drink deeply from that well, that living water that springs up, the refreshing spirit dwelling within, that's provided for you through the new thing that God has done, claiming you through water, marking you as his own. We're refreshed. We're claimed. We're marked. We're satisfied by the things that God has done. And God is active in our lives. When we look for him, we will see him. We're chosen to declare his praise. That's from verse 21. The people whom I formed myself, that they might declare my praise among the nations in our lives. Forget the former things, but remember God, your Redeemer. Amen.